Blog Talk Radio.
September 30th, 2013, and this is Foxology Today. I am Silver Ray Fox, your host, and I believe I'm becoming one of the best sit-down dancers around. I'm telling you, that song really gets me rocking in this chair. Have a great time listening and getting ready to launch. I hope you are already having a marvelous Monday. It's a great day. Wherever it is or whenever it is that you are tuned in, thank you so much for listening in. Well, if you are at work, I know that one of the ways that many people at work tune out the noise and drama of the workplace is by tuning in to shows like this while they work. Yeah, it is the new great escape from the craziness and the chaos, and it's constantly occurring all around us. And those headphones are sometimes just enough to buffer the sound of it all. However, it doesn't make it go away, does it? Truth be told, most every workplace has its own chaos and crisis, and in many cases, it's ongoing. I call it the new normal. There always seems to be some element of conflict and fires to be put out and rapid changes and a host of unique attitudes that complicate things. Well, today we are going to put our big girl and big boy pants on and see what we can do about it. Can we take personal responsibility for what goes on at work? I think we can. Is it our professional responsibility to make sure we are aiding in the success of all the daily operations? I think so. Should we feel any accountability when it comes to what the workplace should feel like? I do believe so. Those are important questions to ask yourself today as we launch into the topic of crazy, chaotic, and in crisis, the new normal at work. Things at work really are more different than ever, no doubt about that. And my guest today is a human resources trainer and advisor, and today we are going to discuss workplace drama and provide insights and solutions for making work better. So please welcome Portia Lockett. She's going to be my special guest today as we launch into this very interesting and sometimes controversial topic. Welcome, Portia.
Thank you, Silver.
I am so excited to be talking with you today. I'm excited about all my guests, but this is an area where I happen to have a great deal of expert advice and input and experience as well. So I am really happy to be talking to you. So I think we ought to be able to really pick this thing apart and hopefully offer some really good strategies for people and as far as their understanding and strategies on what to do in the new workplace. But before we do that, I want people to know a lot more about you. I gave the human resources part of that, but you are one phenomenal lady when it comes to work, community, and life and the things that you are doing. So why don't you share that information with us first?
Okay, well, I'm the co-founder of ANSPIRE Training and Development in the Michigan area. However, we travel internationally when it's necessary. And we just are very excited to be a part of this program today because, you know, we go into various companies across the country. We've done work with Ford and Chrysler and a little bit with GM and Sprint, St. John's Hospital here locally and the Detroit Medical Center in the Detroit area. We go into the various companies and we try to meet them right where they are and build up on their needs. And so we try to customize training programs to be able to help their teams within the organizations to grow to the next level, including managers and teams and other individuals who are contributing factors to any organization. And so we just get excited about it because we can take a look at where companies are at the very beginning and then determine where they are at the end of our course. And 99% of the time, our job has been very successful and rewarding. I just enjoy working with people and helping them to be the best that they can be and reach their full potential and all that they are purposed to on this earth to do.
That's wonderful. And I know you also have a component of ANSPIRE that serves the community in other ways. Tell us about that, too, before we launch into our topic.
Okay, with ANSPIRE Ministries, where we basically service people beyond the walls of the church. I am a licensed and ordained chaplain as well as my business partner and ministry partner, Dr. Velva Flowers. And we work with a lot of different churches doing exactly the same types of things in corporations that we do in churches and within their organizations, because a lot of ministers and church organizations want to conduct their church in a business manner. Our daily work is about being about God's work. And so with that being said, as a chaplain, I always tell people that I can marry you and bury you and everything in between. Of course, I like the marrying part better than the burying part. But we do welcome people at the beginning of life, and I'm there to support people during their spiritual and emotional needs. And so I'm a spiritual care advisor currently for one of the local hospitals in the Detroit metropolitan area as well.
Mm-hmm. You're doing great things.
Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question about what we're going to be talking about today. I describe the workplace as crazy, chaotic, and constantly in crisis. Am I being too hard on it?
No, I don't, because I think in society today, in the world today, there's so much change. And sometimes change, which we all know is constant, will create a crazy environment for some individuals who don't handle change very well. And it can turn into a chaotic situations and also cause crises in sometimes our work lives as well as our personal lives, depending on what's going on in the workplace.
You're absolutely right. You know, I kind of felt you were going to be on the same page with me with that. It's not meant to be a tough criticism so much as it is an awareness. As I said, I call it the new normal. You know, I'm out there too, like you, working with people at work often, trying to bring the best practices and best strategies and the best ideas and attitudes for making things less complicated. But the fact is, it's different now. It, you know, a few decades ago, it wasn't so complex, and now it has become that. And it's and I assure people who when I have their ear, we're never going back to that. we're going to stay in this place where there's this stuff that's always going on, and it, you know, there are reasons for it. There are a lot of reasons for it, and those are some of the things I want to talk about. But since you mentioned change first, and since it is so constant and it's so rapid, let's talk about that first for a few minutes, because there are many things that have happened that have created the complexity that's in the workplace. Lots more people than ever before, lots more technology, a lot more machinery, lot more strategies, and all of those things are contributing to the fact that on any given day, you might need to think think smarter, get more education, get more skills, or in the midst of that change, you could find yourself even being left behind, or if not, without a job, or without a job.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think a lot of companies right now are downsizing, and the way they communicate the downsizing is what's, I think, causing a lot of the chaotic episodes in the workplace, and when it's not communicated properly. And then, you know, several companies are merging together, and it's about the bottom line. You know, how we're going to save money, how we're going to make money. And that whole piece that you mentioned about technology in terms of replacing people with technology. You know, you go into the factories these days and jobs that our parents had, you know, 35 and 40 years ago, sometimes those jobs don't exist anymore because it's done now by a machine or by a robot. There's even a lot of surgeries today that were done by human beings. And you read on the internet and you Google and you Bing and you see all these different types of research that incorporate robotic surgeries, you know, in place of human beings doing those particular things now. And so what I think is very, very important is if you're not going to be left behind, you have to come up as an individual and your company with some type of brand where people are going to be drawn to your company or drawn to you as an individual, where you will become invaluable, where you are not one of the top picks to be removed from the organization or the business.
And what that's going to mean in a lot of individual cases, and I think it's important that that workers and professionals understand that opens the door for opportunity to gain additional education and skill sets to be, as you said, invaluable and to be competitive and be ready to make another move, perhaps, if that is necessary. But you mentioned something else there that I want to reflect on. You mentioned the communication piece and change. It's wonderful that companies are making smart moves, they're merging and doing all other kinds of things that are dynamic change for them as far as economics and business and the impacts they're trying to create for themselves. However, what seems to get lost, or it appears to get lost in the thinking of that dynamic, is that we're dealing with hundreds and thousands of people when that occurs, and I often hear, and I'd like to hear your thoughts, of how they feel that they're just being pushed and shoved along like cattle and nobody communicates with them a lot of the change that's taking place, why and what's going to happen next and how it will impact them in ways that could perhaps change their job status and, again, even being at that particular job. So my thoughts have always been, you know, whether they are a part of the big dynamic, at least keep workers in the loop, whether it's a two-year or five-year plan, let them know way ahead of time the vision. It doesn't have to be every point of the vision, but it gives people, I think, an opportunity to look and say, well, it looks like our company's merging with a bigger company in 2 years. My job may not be this job anymore. Let me see if I need to get additional skills, or do I even need to think about being here? Maybe this is an opportunity for me to look at doing something new. But I think there ought to be a strategy that really encompasses the mindset of the workers, because I constantly hear how they feel like they are so out of the loop.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you hear it all the time about people saying, you know, I've been working with this company for 29 years or 30 years or even 40 years, and I've been loyal. I've come to work every single day. I never call in sick. You know, I do everything that I'm supposed to do. I go, you know, beyond what I'm expected to do every single day. And then one day you come to work and there's someone standing over your desk, over your cubicle, saying to you, unfortunately, we're at a point where we're going to be letting some people go, and I'm sorry to inform you, but your services will no longer be needed here. I'm so sorry. It's not a personal thing. It's a business move. And you can imagine how someone would feel when they've been doing that particular job year after year after year, and they haven't felt that it was necessary to take any additional courses in any other particular area, because you start that job and you just assume that you're going to retire from that job, get your Social Security, live happily ever after, enjoy your grandchildren, do some traveling, and then someone throws a bomb at your future plans. And at the age of 60, it's very, very hard, or 50, even younger than that sometimes, to go out and rebrand yourself or figure out, you know, how am I going to make it? No one's going to hire me at this age. I don't have additional skill sets. This is what I've loved to do. This is what I've been doing, you know, all my life. How dare they do this to me? But at the same time, you know, we know that it is happening across various industries, various organizations across the country, not only in America, but, you know, outside as well. And so we have to learn how to be proactive ourselves. You know, I always say I can never, ever learn enough. I always try to find myself, you know, reading a book or doing some additional research, taking a class here and there, getting out there, networking. So if something should ever happen to me, I've already begun to make some contacts and letting other people know, you know, what my skill set is, and also learning some additional skill sets. And don't find yourself just locked into one skill set that you only know how to do. And so, but that doesn't take away the hurt and the pain. I think that it's very, very important for companies to begin to communicate. As soon as you know that there's some changes that are going to be going on, keep them in the loop, because people just want to know. They want to know how to plan. You know, we plan to send our children to school, and, you know, we are in the midst of planning weddings and all sorts of things. And so when that bad news or unexpected news should come, it just throws us for a loop, and it throws us into the stressors, you know, of life. And people begin to stress out that, it begins to affect their health and their mental status. And we never know what somebody is going through. You know, every day we come in and we look like we're okay, but we're very good at putting on a mask when we come to work every day.
Mm-hmm. That is certainly the truth. And, you know, I think people, you know, based on what you've said and what I had said too, just need to have enough information to be able to make some of their own calculated decisions about change as it occurs. You know, most companies are certainly not thinking about every single employee's livelihood in that sense. They're looking at their bottom line.
Exactly.
And I really don't believe that they're trying, as you said, to create they're certainly not trying to create chaos in the midst of the change. It's just that it will provide an understanding, a bridge, if you will, in an employee's mind of where they can figure out perhaps where they may be going to.
Right.
In the process, and I really do see that as a important, if not critical, piece in the morale of the workplace and the morale of employees.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I want to talk about also a couple of other things in line with that can impact this new normal. And since we're talking about change, let's talk about management and morale now, because most change communication would certainly be handled by management. Management would be responsible for allowing the workers to have this knowledge, to get their thoughts and suggestions solicited. It also impacts their morale greatly.
Mm-hmm.
And when we talk about morale, Portia, we know what we're talking about. We're talking about the happy or the unhappy worker, the worker who comes excited and ready to work versus the one who doesn't. And oftentimes in the midst of that change, another thing that happens that we didn't mention is that when the change is occurring and they feel left out of the loop, you get less productivity out of them too. And that's something most companies certainly don't want to suffer from. But I'd like to hear what you think the correlation is between management and morale, if any. What are your thoughts?
I think that, you know, as managers, we must communicate to the individuals that we are managing. As I get the information, I want to be able to share it with those individuals who I'm responsible for day in and day out. I also think that there's a level of respect, giving those individuals respect. And when you communicate, that tells me I respect you because I want you to know. I appreciate you being a part of my team and hearing that appreciation every single day throughout the week. I appreciate the fact that you came to work. I know sometimes I go down the halls myself, and I'll say to anyone, not necessarily the people who work in my particular area, but I may say something like, you know what, I'm so glad that you came to work today. We could not have made it without you. And just to hear that, it will put a smile on someone's face. And those individuals who were not necessarily excited about coming to work that day, sometimes hearing that you're needed and you're appreciated will turn someone's attitude from sour to sweet. And so when we communicate and then asking them, you know, we sit in our huddles and we have our weekly or our monthly meetings and asking those individuals, what do you think, not what I think, but what do you think could help take our team to another level? What can I do in our one-on-one meetings to be able to support you here more? Is there anything that I can teach you? Is there some classes that we need to get involved in? Is there something that we can do together as a team that will build the morale? And a lot of times people will tell you, you know what, why don't we? And sometimes it's the simple things. It's showing me that you appreciate having my back. When you know I'm going through some hardships, knowing that team is going to have my back and they support me when I'm having those moments, or so when someone's family may have just passed away and everybody's walking around as if it didn't happen, but providing, you know, meals or taking up a collection, you know, in the office for that individual who's going through a rough time. But when people know that you care, they really, really will change the way they see the people that they're surrounded by, I mean, their team members every single day. And when you have people who care about each other, they're going to work together even the better.
Mm-hmm. You know, I bet there are, unless you study these kinds of things, workplace behavioral statistics show us, and they have over decades of looking at industries. Doesn't matter where you work.
Right.
It doesn't matter what the number of employees is. That the number one thing that most employees say they would like to have most that impacts their morale on a daily basis. Now, this isn't everybody. This is most, like what surveys show us.
Mm-hmm.
That is, they need to know that their manager cares and give them some praise about their work. That's their number one thing that they feel could make them feel more inspired and more motivated at work. So things like you have just said, just to acknowledge, good morning, hey, how's your day going? You know, keep up the good work. Really appreciate all you do around here. It doesn't have to be some fabulous recognition and awards program. Although those are very nice if your business can promote that.
Yeah.
But the average one just needs a little verbal praise, something that seems like the manager took time to notice and to say you're doing a terrific job.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, absolutely. And sometimes even having the team members recognize each other. I've conducted a program in various places called Touched by an Angel. And basically what it is where you have an opportunity to recognize another employee that's really been a blessing to you, or you've seen them interact with customers in an outstanding way, and they just shine in your eyes. So it's not necessarily a manager recognizing those individuals as star employees, but employees recognize it each other. And then celebrating each other and just, you know, doing things like having a luncheon, or, you know, buying another coworker, you know, lunch, or buying them some movie tickets. And sometimes when you are just having a really rough day, and just knowing that your team members, you know, just have your back, and you have the blessing of that manager, and it just goes just a long, long way.
For sure it does. Well, I actually have two trains of thought on it. That was one train of thought that I have on it, and I want us to discuss this next.
Okay.
Well, it would be wonderful if managers really did what we just said, and if they remembered it, and if they felt they had time to go around and make sure they were giving a personal touch to every employee. Most managers are going to say they really don't have time for all of that. People know what they should be doing when they come to work, and they should do it. So that means that pretty much you don't get a lot of attagirls and attaboys during the work day. It just really doesn't happen. We were painting an ideal situation, what it would look like and what a wonderful difference it would make if they did that. Now, there are a lot of great managers and management teams who do it. The average ones do feel like it's really the order of the day to work, and you know, they're not being ignorant of it, they're just not being cognizant of the fact that this could play a huge role in an employee's attitude. But here's what I want us to talk about. I often tell people, because you're not getting those pats on the back, because you're not getting that attaboy and attagirl, perhaps the best thing to do is just own your own attitude and make yourself feel the best you can at work, since mm-hmm. you know you really can't count on that.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts? I know we talked at another time about, you know, that the part of attitude where we do have to program ourselves, and I tell people, tell yourself you're doing a good job, even
Absolutely.
When nobody else notices. Tell that to yourself.
Right. I mean, you know, when you wake up in the morning, pre-program yourself to say, you know, today is going to be a great day. It's going to be better than it was yesterday and not as good as it's going to be tomorrow. And I'm going to do everything at my power to have a great day, and that everyone that comes in my space will feel and see that I'm having a great day. And I'm not going to let anybody take me off my square today. I'm going to accomplish everything that I set out to do, and those things that I can't accomplish today, I'm going to do my best to be able to accomplish them tomorrow or the next day. I often see young ladies and young men, you know, walking down the hallway from time to time, and I will encourage them, you know, hold your head up tall, and, you know, remember you're wearing a crown. And don't allow anybody in your space that's going to knock your crown off, you know, and they smile. And then I always tell them, too, you know, it's about your attitude. It's a, what does your attitude look like? When people see you, what do they see? They're watching the way you speak. What are you saying with your words? Because words are very, very powerful. How are you carrying yourself? Are you carrying yourself, you know, as if you have you know, worries? Are you carrying yourself as with confidence? What's your body language look like? How is your interaction with your internal customers as well as your external customers? And it's all about your attitude. And people are watching all the time. And so be careful of what you allow to come out of your mouth and also what you speak to yourself. Tell yourself every day that you're going to have a great day.
Mm-hmm. Well, I believe in that. And I, you know, I give them the whole scope, the disclaimer. Does that make everybody that you come in contact with be more positive or more wonderful, or does that make for a perfect work day? No. But what it does make for is a more perfect attitude that you operate in and under all day for you at work.
Absolutely.
A lot of times I hear people feeling like they're being controlled by somebody else's attitude dynamic. They're being controlled by how somebody else responds. And I thought, you know what? If that were the case with most of us, we'd be hanging from the ceiling like monkeys. If we were depending on that, you know, to regulate how we responded. Because, again, there's just so much craziness and chaos going on. You have to have a sense of personal accountability and control about how you react in the workplace. And so one of the first things I always say is choose your attitude, just like you were just saying. Bring your A game. Your A, first part of your A game, A, is attitude. And
right.
You can choose to bring your best attitude. One of the best pieces of advice I got at 18 in my life, and I was wonderfully mentored by people, thank God for that, about work. But this teacher told me, high school teacher and counselor said, because he was responsible for helping me get one of my first jobs, he said, when you close your door leaving home, leave everything concerning your home at home. You go to work to work. Don't
right.
bother people with issues and problems and gossip and things like that, because
right.
it doesn't fit. And nobody really cares, is what he told me. Well, I've lived that over all my years. And, you know, you gain some confidants, you know, some people who are confidants at work, and you share things. So I'm not talking about you never say anything.
Right.
But basically what he was saying to me is that as you create your attitude for being a professional, part of it is making sure you choose to bring the right reasons for coming to work, and that you apply yourself in a way that is always professional. And so we have to realize, of course, that as we step out the door, everybody's got a life and stuff and things going on.
Definitely.
However, in the framework of the workplace, we have to, you know, realize it's not our place for socializing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not that people just don't care, but we're there. We're getting paid to do a service. We're getting paid to do work there, and we have to remain focused on that. And part of that, you know, when you talked about programming ourselves, it really is that, Portia. It's really just reshaping your thinking about why I'm here, what am I doing here. Let me be responsible for pushing my own buttons and making sure I push the right ones that make me the most effective and the most professional person
exactly.
While I'm here.
Exactly.
Why don't we look at conflict at work, too? That's another thing that seems to cause a lot of craziness. In fact, a lot of people don't realize, again, from workplace studies, that 85% of what's going on at work that seems chaotic and crazy and in crisis is people.
Mm-hmm.
It's not so much the systems or the work itself. It's the people. And that one has got to be a big old hard one for people to swallow. But it's the truth. That's what studies show.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think about conflict, and do you have any ideas about how people can help work through some of the relationships with coworkers and in management?
Yeah, one of the things that I've learned is the majority of the time when there's some conflict going on, and it's a lot of times it's because of miscommunication. Some information was miscommunicated or was not communicated in the right manner through the right channel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'll give you a good example. Let's just say a manager has a person that they feel that they can really, truly depend on. And this manager goes to the employee and says, you know what, tell everybody else in your group that XYZ is going to take place. And the other individuals are looking at this person that has been instructed by the manager to relay this information as if, wait a minute, you're not my boss, you're not my manager, who are you to give us these instructions? And so that could cause a conflict right there, because then people begin to think, you know, there's some favoritism going on here. Why couldn't she or he have come to us and said whatever it was that needed to be said? And so I think, you know, when things are miscommunicated, that leads to a great deal of conflict. When people are not held accountable, it leads to conflict. When people are not responsible and want to take ownership of a certain task, it could cause a conflict. So then we look at ourselves and just say, okay, so how do we resolve this conflict? And I always encourage people to, when there's a conflict that's going on, to identify, first of all, who the conflict is with. And once you identify
mm-hmm.
who the conflict is with, then determine what the real conflict is. Because sometimes when you let things or issues go on and on without being addressed, you start adding layers to that initial conflict. And by the time you get to that 13th layer, you're not really having a conflict about that particular issue. The first one was never addressed. And so once you define what the original conflict was about, and then say, okay, let's sit down and let's talk about it and try to come up with some possibilities of resolving this particular conflict and going back and forth. And sometimes you may need a mediator in order to resolve that conflict, as opposed to just having two individuals or groups of people. You may have to have a mediator involved in getting to the end result of that particular conflict that's going on.
Mm-hmm. That's great advice. Another part that plays a huge role in it, and you can tell me what you think about this, is that the people are not always so eager to want to get on the same page. Mm-hmm. We find that we bring, again, some of the attitudes, if you will, with us in that conflict that really are not aligned with being professional when it comes to making decisions and doing critical thinking in regard to conflict. Mm-hmm. Would you say something in regard to our approach and perhaps how objective you need to be when you are talking about workplace conflict?
Well, in this day and age, you would just assume that most people in working environments are mature. However, you will come across from time to time those individuals who don't portray mature behaviors. That could lead to additional conflict. But let's just talk for a moment about those individuals who are mature enough. So if I have a concern with you, Silver, I should be professional enough and woman enough to come to you and say, when you have a moment, I'd like to discuss something with you that I have a concern about. And then sitting down and just say, okay, here's my concern, and I'm a little frustrated because XYZ is happening, you know, and I'm trying to figure out the best way to be able to handle that. And so I'm coming to you to get your advice or get your suggestions on how we can resolve this particular issue.
That's why I said you need to put your big boy, big girl pants on for this.
Yes.
Because I agree that a lot of things could have a totally different spin. Mm-hmm. If there was a level of maturity that mm-hmm. was brought to the concerns and to the problems and to handling, you know, the regular daily things that are so routine mm-hmm. and that offer, you know, an opportunity for people to come up with some terrific resolve mm-hmm. for them. But oftentimes we see that when trying to talk about some of it, it feels to individuals like there's being fuel put on an already burning fire, and it often crashes and burns. But
right.
I agree with you, and it's something that we must embrace, is that we need to have a cool head and to be objective, and again, to realize that our purpose and plan for showing up there is to help processes work well, to help productivity operate at the level that's expected, to be professional,
absolutely.
You know, at all times, and that's regardless of where you are on the totem pole. I don't care if you're considered the least to the greatest. It is so important to still have a level of understanding that you are a part of a company and you're representing that, you're an image of that, and it's required to act professional.
Absolutely, absolutely. And a lot of times when that change is communicated, there's going to be some changes taking place. Some people will create conflict because they don't want to go through the change. We've been doing it this way for 30 years. Why are we changing now? I am not good with change. I don't want to change. And so if this is going to be the new way, I don't want to be a part of this. So you'll get a lot of pushback from those individuals
mm-hmm.
who are just afraid of change. This is the only way I know how to do it. I mean, you think about when computers first came out, everything was done manually years and years ago. And when the computers came out, think about how many people were afraid to go to those classes where they taught you how to do the Microsoft Word, the very beginning, you know, the 3.0, the 2.0, and now we're probably like at a 7.0 or 8.0 to 9.0 right now. And how far along, you know, we've come just with the technology piece. And then you have those individuals, you know, who have decided to move on and to learn, and they moved up in the company. And then you get that new manager that has a different management style than your previous manager that has decided to retire or just to move on in life. And so when you're dealing with all these sorts of conflicts or issues that can create conflict, and some of them are good. I think sometimes conflict can be very good because great ideas and new ideas can come from a conflict. Conflict from having some discussions about new ideas to be resolved. And so then at the end, the result, when you say, wow, if we never had this discussion or we never talked about the problems that we were having, we wouldn't be on this page right now, and I think we're on a really good page.
Mm-hmm.
Some people don't want to explore.
Yeah, there can be very positive things that arise out of conflict, that's for sure. Mm-hmm. And it's important to mention, and you said this in so many words, is that conflict will exist and continue to exist, not just because it's a result of personality difference or attitude differences. You have to utilize skill sets, as you mentioned, approaching the problem or the person and then working out the details and a strategy and seeing where to go from there that it would benefit the parties and the business or workplace as well. Okay. I want to talk about, while we're sort of in that vein, to communication. In a bigger picture, I know you mentioned it a little earlier, but I'm talking about now the daily things. We've got so many ways of communicating, and I know I often ask, are we really having a communication problem? And you'll hear lots of, yeah, we are, and hands go up. And I say, why? And then they start mentioning any number of things. And then I say, well, let's see here. We have phones, we have cell phones, we have email, we have text. And I go down the whole list of, meetings and conference calls. I say, wonder why we're having a communication problem then. Mm-hmm. And then everybody gets silent.
Right.
You know why? Because I say there should not be a communication problem. The problem is us. Mm-hmm. It's not having the tools to communicate. Mm-hmm. And it's essential that we realize that we've got to really back that up with human effort. Mm-hmm. And, again, utilizing these tools to make sure we are communicating what needs to be communicated. I often hear horror stories about people withholding information or people hesitant about information, all kinds of things that do fall into that element of craziness that I described. But we have to realize, again, we're all connecting the dots somehow with something when we are in a workplace. And if we let the ball drop, then consequently, we let the ball drop potentially in a process or in the productivity. And that's something that is going to reflect back on you as a professional and definitely impacts the bottom line for the business or the workplace. So it's something every worker needs to be aware of. Communicate at your best. Don't hesitate.
Yeah.
Don't be a person who refrains from it. Use every tool available. Repeat things. Get everybody in the loop. Do whatever is necessary so that, again, the processes can go as well as they can. Mm-hmm. Have you ever had any situations where you saw some unique or unusual things in regard to communication practices?
Oh, absolutely, because I think, as you mentioned before, we all have different styles of communicating. And so one of the exercises that I do in one of my training sessions, and we talk about communication in terms of what's acceptable communication and what's unacceptable communication. And with that being said, I will allow them to have some dialogue, and they will come up with a list of things, what's acceptable behavior, such as, speaking to me, acknowledging me, talking to me, not at me, your tone of voice, your body language, how you interact with me every single day. And then when there's some messages that need to get relayed to the entire department, should we put it in email? Am I obligated as an employee here to check my emails every day? Absolutely. Well, I forgot to check it. Well, it's your responsibility to check it because I can't go around from desk to desk and make sure that everybody has this information. And then sometimes you may need to send out reminders. You may have to have those reminder sessions in your meetings in terms of communication. And then asking people, how do you want to be communicated to? What's the best way for me to get information to you or to communicate with you? And some people will say, you know, well, you can just text me or you can just call me. You can just email me. You know, but there's so many different ways, and of course we can't accommodate every single person, especially in the workplace, but we've got to be able to as a team, and I like to use the word team because most of us work in a team environment where you need to get everybody's input so that you can say, what are we agreeing to in terms of how we're going to communicate with one another? And then a lot of times when we talk about, you know, what's unacceptable, I will not tolerate someone screaming at me to get my attention. I will not have anyone talking down to me. Or cursing at me, or, you know, brushing me off as if you don't hear me or ignoring me. So those types of behaviors, and so those exercises to me are really good because everybody's work environment, you know, is totally different. And then when we go home, you know, it's the same thing when we're dealing with our families in terms of communicating. Everybody communicates, you know, on a different level. And so you have to decide on how you're going to communicate to make sure that the message that you're trying to convey is communicated to the proper persons at the right time. And then don't be afraid to ask the person, how did you understand me to, how did you, what did you walk away from this discussion with? You know, do you have any questions for me? And making sure that that person understands what you said. You know, because a lot of times people will stand and they'll just say, okay, but did they really understand it? Did you hear me or were you listening to me? Or you're just acknowledging that you heard some blah 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 blah, blah, blah some jergling going on.
Right.
I think it's really important for us to, you know, to get some confirmation back from that person that we're, or groups of people that we're communicating to.
Those are great points, and I want to just tag on that a little bit for a couple of things that jumped out at me as you were talking, and as you mentioned the various tools. And what people may have as preferences, and sometimes feedback that I hear is, well, I did call or I emailed, and I say always over-communicate rather than under-communicate. If you have to email, call, leave a post-it, whatever you need to do, the point is communicate because, again, we're all so busy. And if people don't seem available, offer yourself more tools to use to make sure that you're getting your information conveyed and points made. Another thing you mentioned, Portia, was about the conversation being disrespectful, using words and terms and curse words that are inappropriate for the workplace. And I say this, we have to remember that's not your husband, your wife, your honey, or your kids that you're talking to.
Exactly.
Not that anybody should be talked to in that way, but you have to remember at work there's a certain decorum, there's respect, there's regard that should be used and maintained and just be very much in the forefront of your thinking when you're talking to people at work. Anything else is pretty much unacceptable. We, again, have to realize that, you know, we have to program ourselves to deal with people that way. And I can hear people saying, but they talk like this and they talk like, well, just don't let that be you. Let's just start with you. Just don't let that be you. You be the one that they say, boy, you know what, that person right there, you know, we can count on them. They're so respectful. They're always professional. Let them say those things about you rather than being the one that always seems to be rubbing everybody the wrong way by how you communicate. And then the last thing you mentioned, that jumped out at me was the listening factor. We're all moving and shifting so fast, and we're talking as we're passing by and thinking we're hearing everything. And, you know, it's so important, and whether you're moving or on the phone or in a meeting or whatever, that you really are engaged, that
right.
you do hear what's being said, that you don't miss important and critical information that, is, again, is going to contribute to things being less complex and complicated. So
right.
the last thing, you mentioned this, excuse me, you mentioned this in also your dialogue about teams. And so the last thing I'd like for us to talk about, because everybody's on one, whether you have your own business, whether you are husband and wife, whether you are at work with four people or 4,000, everybody's on a team.
Yeah.
And it's important that there is, a paradigm, I believe, that we take with us that helps us understand that we really don't need to be playing against each other. That, again, as I said, 85% of workplace drama is really people. And so we really could maybe help by sharing some of the things that we think and believe about being a team player.
Sure, sure. Well, I think that one of the things that I like to highlight, there's a book called The 100% Principle, and it talks about relationships
mm-hmm.
by a gentleman by the name of Al Ritter. And his philosophy is just come and give your 100%. You can't tell or anybody else what percentage they're going to bring. We talk about bringing the A game. But if everybody has the mindset, I'm going to bring my A game and I'm going to just do my best today, then guess what? That team is going to function at 100% if you have the right tools to be able to do what you need to do. And then even if you don't have the right tools to do what you need to do, you have people who are giving their 100%. So out of that 100%, a few folks are going to get a little creative on how to be able to get that particular job done. If everyone is there to give that other team member support, then you're going to get some great end results. If everybody's treated fairly and treating everyone else fairly, you're going to get great results. And I always use the analogy of sports because I love sports. And when you think about
mm-hmm.
a team in sports, they come and their goal is to win. So if we come in with that winning attitude, like today we're going to have another day that we're going to win, that's a great mindset to be able to have. And I know what my role is, and so I'm going to stay in my lane and do my role. I can't be a quarterback and trying to do the running back's job at the same time. If everyone is doing their job, then we can be more successful together as a team, working towards a winning goal for the organization. And so when you kind of start thinking about those things and making a list of what makes great teams, and you always also have to have great leaders and the coaches, and I don't mean the one that's pointing saying you got to do this, this, and this, but putting the right people in the right place with the right job, with the right qualifications at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And that will, to me,
mm-hmm.
Create a good, outstanding, and a successful team.
Yes, I want to share something in regard to that's a great thought with the 100%. I certainly agree totally with that. I want to share something though. Again, you can tell I read a lot of workplace statistics, but I do because it's something I really like learning about.
Sure.
There's some interesting statistics that show that about 25 to 30% of people who show up at work every day, they're called engaged employees, engaged,
mm-hmm.
meaning that these are the people who show up that feel committed, they feel
mm-hmm.
dedicated, they feel like they're movers and shakers, they feel value, they feel they bring value to their job and to their company. They really are an elite type of thinker, if you will, in regard to all the things that we've talked about. They bring that to work
mm-hmm.
every day, and
mm-hmm.
then some. And then you have about 55 to 60% who are somewhat engaged, meaning that that big that big number of people who show up at work every day feel like I've got a job, I've got responsibilities, there are things I need to do to get this paycheck. So basically, that's where their mindset, that's their paradigm. And they don't bring what that upper 30% bring. They just bring as much as they can to get done what they need to do. There is no real enthusiasm. There's no extra miler in them. They want to do, not that they're bad or poor workers, but they have what's called discretionary energy. They don't use everything. They don't put it all out there. They do as much as they can to be successful at doing their job. And then you have the bottom 20-ish percent who really try to get away with murder at work. They don't really want to do very much of anything. And depending on where they are, they're kind of hard to detect and even more so sometimes hard to get rid of. So you've got that whole scope of people at work. Right. That top 30%, you know, they're stellar. Mm-hmm. But then you've got all these other people that need to be motivated into being team players, motivated into the mindset and the activities that you're talking about, and they're pretty much on reserve about it. They're the people that don't talk much in meetings. They're the people who kind of just stay quiet during the work day and, you know, they do their job and they go home. So I'm saying all that to say to any managers and companies that just might want to be in the know about that, know what you're working with, and I imagine some of them do, and so that you can think of ways that may increase incentive in these individuals. That 20% at the bottom may be hard to do anything with. These are people that ultimately will retire or find other things to do or just kind of coast their way until, you know, they find another job. But that 55%, 60%, those are still people who can be tapped into to bring them from that 65, 70% of contribution to looking like that stellar group at the top. So look for incentives and ways to bring out that additional energy and effort in them so that, again, your business, your workplace, your company can flourish all the more.
That's good stuff. And as you were speaking, Silver, something came to mind about workplace appreciation. When you look at companies like Google, or you look at companies like, I'm not sure if it's nationwide, but like a Trader Joe's, they do a phenomenal job with showing their employees how much they are appreciated. And so the other thing we have to do is figure out, like you said, a way to get that 55% to that 30%. And so some companies maybe even want to consider having an engagement committee and asking people, you know what, we're going to be meeting, let's just say, the first Monday of every month, and we're going to have lunch, and we would like for you to come and allow them to share their feelings of how they feel that the organization is functioning and what they would suggest to enhance the morale of that 55% in order to get them in alignment with the 30%. What would it take? What does it look like? And getting them to get the feedback from the people. And I don't necessarily
think that's excellent advice.
Yeah. You know, I do a lot of work. Yeah, I do a lot of research on workplace appreciation, because I think that when you show people that you appreciate them and you genuinely appreciate them, they will want to work even harder or give you a little bit more when you tell them, when you show them, you know, how much you care. And yes, it may cost a little bit more money, but guess what? It's not going to cost as much money as it would if you have to let that person go to train somebody else to be in that person's position. Because people aren't anymore. You know, I won't say they're not loyal, but there's a lot of people who don't feel I have to be loyal. Okay, well, I've got this skill set. I can go somewhere else. I can get paid a little bit more, maybe, and I can feel as if I'm appreciated, and people will listen to my ideas.
Well, that's excellent insight and advice. And what you just said, a lot of companies do recognize, but though for those who don't, some of the best ideas for your success will come from those people when you ask them.
Exactly.
They will tell you the things that will help your company succeed because they are your company.
And then the other thing to that is when you ask them, they'll say, well, why didn't you ever say anything? But you never ask.
That's true.
You never
Well, this
ask.
Is...
That's, suggestion
that's
boxes
it.
Are
and
great.
That's,
you know, all
yeah,
all around,
yeah.
You know, put up a suggestion box, and they could be anonymous, you know, and, mm-hmm. and just take a look at some of the
or
ideas.
Or not.
That come through. Right, yeah, well, yeah, well.
Or not. Well, this has been a very, very educational conversation, and I really appreciate all of the insight and the expertise that you have shared today, Portia. I really wanted to put a few things out there. You know, it's one of my favorite topics and something I have a real strong background in and do. And so I really felt real compelled to share some of that information with my listener audience and you. And I just want to tell you to keep on being phenomenal. You are making such an incredible impact on people's lives, both in your community and work. And it's just been a pleasure having you
well,
with me today.
Thank you.
And
thank you.
I'll look forward to us coming up with another topic, and we'll run that around a little bit and get back on the air and see what else we can share to help people.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
Thank you so much. Yes. You enjoy your day, and I'll look forward to reaching out to you again very soon.
All right. Thanks so much, Silver. It's been a blessing.
Yes. Same here.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Have a good one. And I want to thank you, the most phenomenal listeners on the planet, for checking out Foxology today. You know I appreciate you, and I want you to tell your friends, your family, your social media family about Foxology, and that, again, I'm bringing positive information, positive people, about positive thinking and about positive living. That's what I do, and I so do love it. So thank you so much for your taking your valuable time to listen and to learn. I wish you a great day, and I look forward to talking to you next time.